This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Took a while to get there, didn't it?
It did. I was letting it go. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Gillette, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. On a Tri-Day Friday, we're looking for movies that, you know, someone about 30 years old would have never seen. It is an Oscars weekend. Hugh was reading off his thoughts on the Oscar movies. What's the movie you don't think maybe we've seen or Kyle hasn't made before 2000? We'll have all that Tri-Day stuff. And, of course, the Miles Garrett star hunting conversation. If you missed it earlier, listen to this. Diana Russini of The Athletic, what she said about the buzz in Indianapolis with the Eagles and Miles Garrett.
Here's what some people are saying right now, that Howie's willing to move on from some of these guys because he's looking to make a big swing. And that big swing would be for Miles Garrett. Some of these guys think are a sure thing may not be sure things to return to Philly.
I would rather have Miles Garrett than Zach Bond.
Put it past Howie
Miles
Roseman
Garrett.
Going after Miles Garrett.
Absolutely
no way.
Not.
Continue to build and build and build in the area that got them to the Super Bowl and in the Super Bowl's past.
All right, that's a lot, and it certainly gets our attention because it seems like the Eagles are, you know, in this, really try to get Miles Garrett. Here's my perspective on this. A couple days ago, I said, and I still feel this way, I'm not trading two ones. I'm not trading the whole draft for Miles Garrett because that's not how the Eagles won two Super Bowls. I did it more with depth. But if it costs a little bit less than maybe I was thinking, I would rather have Garrett than just bring the whole band back. I mean, he's a great football player, and I'm not sure that these guys are actually as great as they looked, and maybe they'll get overpaid. Hugh, where do you stand? Run it back, try to bring the group back, or go after Miles
Garrett? Run that thing back, man. Run that thing back. I just think the price for Miles is going to be too high. You know what, another thing? Howie has a knack for zigging when he zags.
He does.
He zigs and zags. And this is the first time that I can recall ever hearing that much buzz about what Howie's going to do.
So that's interesting. I mean, I do think it was different, but there was a little bit of buzz the week leading into the Saquon signing that they were really going to do it. And
A
lot of us didn't really believe it because they had never done that.
Well, yeah, we had some insider stuff about that one too as well.
Yep.
But this one, it just feels like Howie's kind of manipulating this a little bit.
Maybe.
Because he, you know, there might be some other works in there. I just don't recall. Howie plays whatever he does close to the vest for the most part.
Now, the A.J. Brown thing did kind of come out of nowhere.
You know what I mean?
That was draft
night. And that's what I remember. Yep. That's what I remember about Howie. Because I remember a few times when I would try to call Howie and ask him certain things, he would just kind of laugh and giggle.
Do you think this is too loud?
I think it's a little too loud.
It is loud.
It's super loud. And it's too many people are talking about what the Eagles are going to do. And that normally is not – it just doesn't feel like normally that's what happens.
I feel like the Combine is always the Howie Roseman show.
It is, but is it this specific? Like, this is specific. They're getting him, this player.
No, but I don't know if there's always this particular type of player out there, right? Like, you always hear Howie's going to do you hear the big swing part, but you don't hear the Miles Garrett.
Howie season. That's where this came from.
Yeah, I feel like you're – people sort of prep you for Howie to wheel and deal, but not necessarily for a particular name because there's not always the name out there.
When I think of Howie season around this time, I think of more of him fleecing people and getting great deals. And when you hear the intricacies of some of the things that he's done behind the scenes, that's where Howie season's come from.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, but this is getting loud. Now, there is more in the reporting from Diana Russini. Hugh, this is interesting. Yesterday we had the whole discussion about Zach Bond, how imperative it is to bring him back. This from Diana Russini, quote, "There are a lot of teams in on Zach Bond. He's going to be expensive for Philadelphia if they want to do it. I just think they may get outpriced there." So now let's unpack this for a second. How much of what we're hearing now is maybe Howie is realizing that running it back is super expensive, that maybe it just it makes more sense to go get a star. Like, if I, let's just say I have $40 million to spend. I'm just using the number. Maybe Howie's realizing, do I want to spend all 40 on my three free agents, or do I want to take that 40 and just go get Miles Garrett? I don't know what's going on, but that report she has about Bond, because Bond is the one everyone seems to want back.
Yeah.
If he gets too expensive, maybe this is just the natural pivot. Like, all right, I can't bring my depth back. I'll go get a star.
I wouldn't put it past them. You just don't know. But it just feels to me like this name has been on everybody's lips, and it just doesn't feel like that. That's how Howie moves. He moves a little bit more, you know, strategic, in my opinion.
Yeah, it also could be, and this happens sometimes, this could be the Browns doing this to get the Commanders and the Lions and everybody else to wake up. Like, hey, guys, start calling, because if you don't, we're shipping them to Philadelphia, and you're screwed for the next 3 years anyway. So we'll find out, but it's huge right now. 215-592-9494.
So, and I could be way off on this, because we keep talking about how rich the price is going to be for Miles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be totally shocked if he ended up going for like a first and a third?
I would be surprised, not shocked. I think this would be about...
He's a coveted pass rusher,
he is.
Too.
So the question would be, how many teams are in? Because the more teams, the bigger the price, you would think, right? And also, is he going to put a stink up on where he goes?
So that's where I think the Browns don't have leverage here. Like, he, one, shut the door on going back there. Two, he limited the amount of options because he said he wants to go to a contender. So that limits the amount of teams going there. And, look, the fact that he is going to cost money might lower the value that they could get back in a trade, because teams are all going to say, no, I have to pay this guy. I'm not giving you as much. And then when's the last time we've seen someone go for two first-round picks in the NFL?
It's rare. The other part is he could tell, like, let's just say a fringe contender, whoever you want to think, trades for him, Denver. He could say, I'm not re-signing here. And then maybe now they're like, screw it, we're out.
Right. Like, I think the Browns have very little leverage here. I think this is the Miles Garrett show.
Well, they're screwed. I mean, they're screwed.
That's where I don't know. I really think it's more likely than not that he goes for a lot less than we might think.
Well, then that makes me more in. I mean, my premise 2 days ago is I'm not giving two first-round picks. If this is less, then I'm certainly involved and intrigued. 215-592-9494. We're back to the phones. And then we got to play something that was said yesterday or a couple days ago on FS1 about the Eagles and really what they're becoming in the NFL. It does pertain to the star hunting thing. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's Tom. Up, what's up?
Listen, I hope you can hear me now. Okay. I'm sitting out in my driveway watching these guys do a roofing job, man. I'll tell you what. You talk about people underpaid. My gosh.
Yeah, that roof is no joke,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Dude, I am watching them. They're like ants on a roof, and it's like amazing.
It's hard work. It's dangerous work. Yeah, I mean, it's that. I agree with you on that, Tom.
All right, let's talk football. Now, I think Howie actually has like an advantage right now. Like, there's a lot of players that want to come here. Okay, they're voicing their opinion that they want to come here. So what? Now he's got to figure out, okay, what do I spend? What do I, you know, what do I give up in trade? Now, immediate reaction right now, like if we get an immediate trade and action right now, would be Miles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think he could, you know, take us to, you know, another Super Bowl, maybe another Super Bowl. Who knows? Maybe we could be a dynasty. Okay. But now this Carter guy from Penn State.
Abdul Carter?
Abdul.
Yes, Abdul. I mean, he is like basically saying he wants to play here.
I mean, he's a fan. Most times, Tom, young players don't admit who they're fans of. Like, it's
yeah, no qualms.
Yeah, right. It's natural that he's a kid. He's a football fan, right? The Eagles are his team. That's cool. But most of the time they go in the league, they kind of don't talk about that because they know they're not going to be able to be a fan anymore. He's very open. He's an Eagles fan. He wants to be here.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Now, let's just say he drops a little bit. Okay, he was scheduled for like a number one draft pick,
yes.
Okay, but he's
yes.
got the foot injury. Now, let me remind you this. The last time we picked somebody with a foot injury was Embiid.
And that didn't work out great.
Yeah, it didn't, though.
Who was the other one? The Eagles drafted someone. Who was the corner from Washington? 2017? He's a corner. He fell. Sidney Jones?
Sidney Jones.
That didn't work out well either.
And who was the linebacker from Penn State that ended up playing with the Redskins?
You talking about LeVar? LeVar Arrington?
Let me tell you something. This Carter kid's got Arrington type ability.
LeVar was a good player. His career didn't last super long.
But he
was a good player.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, what would be the draft equity that we would have to give up to get Garrett or to get Carter?
You know what? That's a good question. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up and Tom, what's your movie we should watch?
Okay, here's one. It's from 1995.
Okay.
It's Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, Heat.
Heat was a good movie.
Oh, I've seen it.
I've
Kyle?
Heard of Heat.
Oh,
I've
you've
heard of Heat.
So we're a lot of heard ofs from Kyle pre-2000, but not seen. Tom, good phone call. All right, let's pull up.
I'm in on those two names, though, by the way. I mean,
Abdul?
De Niro. No.
Oh.
De Niro.
I was on De Niro and Pacino, yeah.
Who do you like better?
De Niro.
They
I think I've just. I've,
they both yeah, part of the prime, old ass daddy crew.
I think
right?
I've just seen more De Niro movies.
Yeah,
than Pacino.
Prime Pacino was something else.
I will say, there's a movie from like before. You know, I talk a lot of crap on the older movies. You Scarface is awesome.
Oh, yes, it's classic. all right, so I pulled up one of those draft. I'm trying to find those like draft value charts. Mm-hmm. Like what the 32nd pick is to get to. Well, Hugh, if you had a guess. What is the draft's place if Carter fell? That's like the spot you think it's reasonable they could trade up. 10?
I was thinking 10 and below.
So 10, 11, 12, that's what you mean
yeah.
by that? Okay. So the Eagles pick, you know, they have like the old, and I know it's been updated, it's changed over time, but Jimmy Johnson created that draft chart where it's mm-hmm. like this pick is worth this many points, this pick is that worth that many points, and then if you want to swap, you got to at least get close to the chart. So mm-hmm. to give you a sense, the Eagles pick on this draft value chart that is using this formula here, the Eagles pick is worth 580 points.
Mm-hmm.
The number 10 pick in the draft is worth 1,300 points. So they gotta bridge that gap. The Eagles second round pick is worth 270 points. So let's do a little quick math on this. They probably would have to trade their first, their second.
You're going to give up a lot. Sound like a lot. You're about to say a lot.
It might be a one. It might be the 32nd pick, a number two, and next year's one or two to get from 32 to 10.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's heavy.
That's a heavy load. But you also have what going for you. You might have, there's a lot of young players in this draft. Somebody's gonna mess up the draft board. And what I mean by that is somebody's going to go that nobody slotted
sure.
to go where they went. And teams usually panic. Quarterback, there's going to be a run somewhere in this first round on quarterbacks, and it's going to be one of those things where people are going to be like, for real?
Well, last year there were six.
They're going to be like, Joe.
I don't think there's six this year. This class not that
good. No, everybody, like, that's the one position that most teams reach for when they get a guy because they're afraid
sure.
that if they don't get one, then they're going to be ass out. So.
And you don't want to. You want to show your whole ass, but not
the
ass.
You don't want to be ass out. You want to show your ass when you're out there on the field, but you don't want to be ass out.
Yeah,
so.
Ass out's not a good place to be. That's
probably where a lot of teams are going to be. So now you're talking about people moving down and guys being getting bumped down and everything. But I think Abdul Carter's one of those guys. He ain't gonna slide too far, especially when you talk about the league and how. Coveted pass rushers are. He ain't going to slide that far.
Yeah. I mean, the only way I could see that happening is if we find out more information. Like
if he had a bong hit, he was hitting the bong or something.
Oh, with Laramie Tunsil?
Yeah, that one.
Well, if you really want to get to the Eagles, there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
Just film yourself doing that. All right, before we get back to the phones, can we play this? FS1, they were having a discussion a couple days ago. Keyshawn, Michael Irvin, and listen to this. They're talking about the Eagles and what they've become to players in the NFL right now. It kind of plays to the star hunting we've talked about today.
I'm going to run the show now. Now, I'm going to go out there and draft well. I'm going to sign guys in free agency well. I'm going to find guys that are on the scraps, bring them in, develop them, get them back in the fold. He was able to do all of these sort of things, and here they are now in 8 seasons. They've gone to 3 Super Bowls, and they've won 2 of them in the last 8 seasons.
Right.
Think about that for a minute out there. How you... or pushed aside for another coach that didn't really do anything, you brought back in the fold, retooled everything. Now you become the destination in the National Football League for potential free agents, guys that want to be traded, undrafted free agents, just guys that want to win and win big.
The Eagles really have become that. I mean, I think every sport has a couple of those teams where everyone wants to just go.
Mm-hmm. But hot place to play, great fan base, great city to be in. Yeah, all of that. All of that in the bag.
And I think it works both ways. One, stars want to go there, right? But mm-hmm. also, they're the reclamation project place. Like, whoever this year's Mekhi Becton is going to try to run to Jeff Stoutland. Like, mm-hmm. if they let Becton go, there's going to be a lineman that's a reclamation project that says, get me to Philadelphia. I could get there, or the next Zach Bond. And they put me in their system, and then I thrive, and I make money the next year. It's a good place to be. The Dodgers are that in baseball. Like, that's a great place to be, where everyone wants to go play for you and do that. Matt is in Prospect Park. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Matt?
What's going on?
Guys?
I kind of side with you on this whole question, but I want to say one thing about, I remember when I first realized Myles Garrett was just like a total freak of an athlete, and it was, I think it was like on Hard Knocks or something, he was like playing basketball. He was insane. Like, I think he was like on the Skins team and he was playing the shirts. I don't know, man. He was just nuts.
You looked at his body and you was like, this cat right here.
He's different.
No joke. Yeah.
He's different.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, dog. He's a big ass dude. Like, for real.
But I mean, I'm wondering, like, can we trade Joel? I mean,
for Myles Garrett? Yes, I'm in.
To play basketball.
All right, so for real, I think that Vic is at the height of his powers right now. I really do. I think Vic's got this. I don't think this dude came in and turned this whole thing around. You got to respect that.
So you want to run it back? You want to give Vic the same guys that run it back?
I trust Vic. I trust. I mean, we got a lot of money coming down the thing, so I just feel like straight up, like, I don't want to trade Nolan Smith, man. He's awesome. He's awesome.
Well, I don't want to trade Nolan either. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I mean, I think Nolan Smith has a chance to be a really, really,
really good player.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. And we're gonna have to give up some like real like peep. Like we're gonna real people are gonna have to go.
Well, that's an interesting perspective that hasn't brought up much because when you hear these trades, people usually just think picks. The Browns could look at the Eagles' young players and say, "Hey,
you want one of those guys?
If you want them, give me one of those guys."
You wouldn't trade Nolan Smith for Myles Garrett?
Yeah, I mean they're pretty hapless as a front office over there, but even an idiot could see like. And you know what's interesting is that they probably couldn't even make those guys do what Vic can make them do. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not, but like Vic just seems to like get. He just seems to find that thing that's in the, you know, in the player. I mean, he just
and he puts them in the right position. Yeah. I mean, like Cooper, like in the Super Bowl, put him in the right position to make the play. All right, Matt, what's your what movie?
All right, I don't think it's a deep cut. A Fish Called Wanda. Love it.
I've seen that, but it's been a long time.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Amazing.
Who's in that?
It's got the dude from a couple of dudes from Monty
Python.
Wasn't that the cooking?
They were cooking, right? There was a restaurant or something involved. That's an old pit movie.
No, it's from '88, and so it's got John Cleese and Michael Palin from Monty Python, but it's also got Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Klein. I think he won a supporting actor Oscar. He is a madman. He's like this crazy, like irate American dude running around England. It's about a robbery.
Oh, the jewel heist.
Oh,
yeah, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
now
a jewel
I got
heist.
It.
Okay.
Yes, it's a good movie. That's got a high score in Rotten Tomatoes as well. By the way, thank you for the call, Matt. So the Nolan Smith thing. If
you wouldn't trade Nolan Smith for Myles Garrett, I can't help you.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Why?
Young guy.
Do you understand how much better of a player Myles Garrett is than Nolan Smith?
No,
I love Nolan Smith.
I understand.
But what are we doing here?
But listen, I've tried today to come around to your side. Give me a second to workshop this because you just sprung it on me.
I'm going to lose it.
What do you mean? Hold on.
When I envision this, if
we do this, I envision Garrett off one side, Carter in the middle, Smith on the other side. I don't want to give away Nolan Smith.
In an ideal world, yes.
Yeah.
But if it meant losing Nolan Smith, and that means you get to keep one of your precious first-round draft picks that might be in the late 20s or low 30s,
we have no idea what
they're going to be.
Which is where Nolan Smith came from.
Yeah, right. No, of course, right. But we all understand that Nolan Smith was more rare than likely, correct? And we always like this is the thing, and I love Matt, and I love our Eagles fans, but we do this thing where we do something one time, and then it's they seem to have a knack for doing this. Like, we win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles, and it's like Eagles seem to have a knack for winning the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback.
Nolan Smith is a second year player, was a first round pick.
I'm aware.
Now I don't know where his
Who
future
benefited
goes.
Benefited tremendously from great coaching,
but Nolan Smith may be on his way to Pro Bowls.
No, because I'm talking about. I'm talking about the point Matt made that Vic Fangio seems to have this thing. He did it one time here.
I know.
What are we like this whole thing? It's not like we've seen this for 10 years in a row. This isn't like I love Jeff Stoutland too. This isn't just a Jeff Stoutland situation where we almost the confidence I understand is very high right now.
Yeah,
but we can't just copy and paste.
But it's a negotiation. I'm not just rolling over for whatever the Browns want. Like I'm still not there. That to me is the all in thing. If the cost comes down or it's not two ones, I'm in. But I'm not like if the Browns call and say, "What were you willing to offer?" I'm not even naming Nolan. Nolan Smith.
No, you don't have to. But what if it comes down to that? If it's a first and Nolan Smith,
is he a deal breaker?
Is that Nolan Smith?
Well, I think that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, absolutely not. How could he be a deal breaker for Myles Garrett?
Because you're giving away something you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're getting the best defensive player in the league.
I understand that. But it's even more than the draft pick. I know
Nolan Smith, I agree, is more valuable than a first.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
agree.
What if the Nolan Smith we saw the last 7 weeks is the next 5 years?
That's awesome.
Well, then that's a bad trade.
But what if we've seen, but there's more like, it's more likely that the Myles Garrett we've seen for the entire first part of his career is the Myles Garrett that we're going to get for the next few years.
Did you see Nolan at that parade?
Here we go.
And you can't trade that guy.
He was hammered. I don't want that guy on the field.
He was hammered, that's for sure. Didn't he play through the second half of the Super Bowl in 2017?
He's a
monster. He's an animal.
I love Nolan Smith.
Everybody was hammered.
I know. But no, Nolan was particularly hammered.
Even some of our guests.
Kyle pushes all in when he goes all the way.
Negotiations with Quinn. You just everything you got in the bank,
guys,
empty it out.
And this is such an Eagles fan syndrome. Is that everything we have is so great, and until the guy that's on the outside ends up on our team, we talk ourselves into them not being as good as they actually are. It's so maddening.
Now listen, I like Nolan a lot. Now, if you say the Browns want Tanner McKee,
bye.
ship him to Cleveland.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
They can take they Bryce Huff too. Awesome.
Well, hold on.
I'll trade Jahan Dotson for Patrick Mahomes if I get the chance.
He's poised for a bounce back year.
Bryce Huff?
Yes.
You got to beg the Browns to take Bryce Huff in the deal, please. Please get him out of here.
Well, Bryce Huff is the foil to Vic Fangio. Will make anyone work.
I'm with you on that. Bryce Huff. You know, there's only one person in this city who still believes in Bryce Huff, and you all. Know who he is. 215.
And that's the same guy that doesn't want Myles Garrett here.
9-2.
Checkmate. I like how twisted and turned the words always get twisted and changed.
Yeah, well, we have to. That's what we do right here. That is WIP. All right, coming up, your phone calls here. The Myles Garrett situation, would you rather run it back, which means Bond, and now there's reporting he may be too expensive for the Eagles, Bond and Becton and Williams, run it back or go after a star, and we know Myles Garrett's the biggest name out there right now. Where do you come down on all this? An interesting situation we saw yesterday with Kyle Schwarber. We'll tell you about that next. And we got an anniversary today in Philadelphia sports. We'll relive it of an incredible day. I remember it very well here at WIP. That's next. Midday show on Sports Radio 94. WIP. College basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season. Right now, new customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino get $150 of bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's $150 extra bucks to bet on everything from the conference clashes to tournament upsets and even who's cutting down the nets. Look, Auburn and Duke are the clear class of college basketball, but I like this Maryland team. I think they can make a big run to the Final Four. If you've been waiting to join FanDuel, there's no better team. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid instantly. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIL. Get in on the college hoops action before March takes over. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up in a few minutes, Clearwater check-in. We get to see a brand new Philly today. And something happened yesterday has me intrigued at how we're going to see it this season, how much we should see it. We'll get to that. Your phone calls here. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. How should the Eagles approach this upcoming offseason? Run it back or go star hunting? 59% In Camp Hugh over here say run it
run
back.
Run it back, man.
41% are intrigued by the idea of the star hunting, which, you know, include a variety of names. I mean, the Micah Parsons, the Max Crosbys of the world, Abdul Carter in the draft. But the big one that is out there in a significant way right now is Myles Garrett. A lot of stuff coming out of the combine. Eagles, Myles Garrett just keeps getting put together.
Synonymous.
It's become synonymous. And we'll find out over the next couple of weeks how real this is and how much is just smoke and how much is Garrett trying to push his way here.
Starting to get excited, Hugh?
Nah.
Why?
I'm excited about what they're going to do.
What if it's Myles Garrett?
I mean, I'll be excited about it.
You'll talk yourself into it.
I mean, I'll be excited.
That's what everyone does.
Oh, no, I'll be excited about it. No question. I'll be excited. But I want to see. I'm kind of like every. This is how I am, Kyle. I'm going to give you a little background. Like, if I order a meal, a lovely meal, and it's good, and somebody say, oh, you know, it's great meal. And I'm like, how much it costs? And somebody say, don't worry about it. That's when I have a problem. I'm like,
Kyle's the guy that says, don't worry about the price.
No,
and you're sweating.
Yeah. No, I'm sweating. I'm like, hold up. How much is this going to cost? I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, hey.
Well, I have an idea. I say that when we get to Clearwater, we'll go out to dinner, and then we won't show Hugh the menu. He'll order, and then we'll say, don't worry about it.
I look at them prices, man.
You worry about it.
What if that meal keeps me full for a month?
No, I can't. I can't.
I want to know what you're eating that keeps you full for a month. Yeah. That's a lot of food there.
I'm not a foodie, dude. So when I go out, I would rather... Like, a lot of times, you know, you go to a nice restaurant and you might get like an ounce steak or whatever. That might cost you like $80.
Yeah.
Man, you can keep that, dog.
I'm not big on steak from a restaurant anyway.
You're not?
Because, you know, the bang for the buck?
Well, yeah, you can make it at home.
Sure.
No, yesterday, like.
It does fit Hughes. All fits Hughes bill.
It's we have steak at home. We have Myles Garrett at home, but we don't have Myles Garrett.
Yesterday I went to the store and I bought some meat, right? I bought us some steak. And you know how when you, like, the butcher has that steak, that's the meat that's on his last leg,
yeah,
that's been there for like a week or two.
Is that the one you got?
Yeah, I got that 50% off food. And it tastes just as good
it's
as
so funny.
You're bargain bin shopping, and you're asking for food
I'm
poisoning,
saying,
dude.
What's wrong with buying the steak?
Because
if I get sick, it's on them.
Well, it's on you.
It's on you.
Entirely
on you. Decided to buy it.
It was 50 off. But you know, you buy stuff like that knowing you got to use it like right now.
So I view Nolan Smith as like the steak. Myles Garrett's like a beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington.
You can't just willy-nilly make it at home. It might cost you a pretty penny,
now,
but it's well worth it.
Now, if we're using the same analogy, as I brought up the other day, Myles' expiration date is quicker to the end than Nolan Smith's. I mean, Nolan Smith is a fresh steak. Myles, I'm not saying he's 50% off. Hugh just wants to be cheap and eat some steak, but he's closer to the end.
Well, as we know, if we know one thing about steaks, it's that dry-aged steaks are really good, they're better.
Well, okay. I mean, we've gone deep into the analogy now. Let's get back to the phone lines here. OG Wade, what's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Hey, OG, what's up?
I just want to do a little throwback with you. I remember when you was on the night show, and I told you that Jalen Hurts is going to turn out to be Howie Roseman's best pick he ever made.
Mm-hmm. He is.
I think it's on his way to that right now. That guy, man, is terrific, man. This dude, his young brother, man, he's just outstanding. And I hear a lot of people say that what we got for the Carson Wentz pick, how many players we got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what people didn't realize and looked at? Look at how many players we got because Jalen Hurts turned out to be the right quarterback. We would have had to draft Justin Fields or Mac Jones.
Yep.
Or bring in the quarterback for Cleveland, Deshaun Watson,
yep,
or Russell Wilson. We would probably be the Cleveland Browns of the NFL.
They'd be in trouble. Yeah. OG, you're right. Like, there wasn't a natural fix, right? If Jalen didn't work, right? If they didn't take him, or OG, if he wasn't good, they would have been in trouble because the other options were not very good. You know, Jones, Fields, Wilson. All these guys are not good starting quarterbacks right now.
Yeah, and with this Myles Garrett thing, it's stipulated with me. I do want Myles Garrett. We don't need Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett is like what Saquon was to our offense. He's like the cherry on top. In terms of giving up, what I would give up for it, what I would give up is a first, a two, and Tanner McKee if we needed to give a player. I'm not giving up Nolan Smith because Nolan, you're what you're doing is a lateral move. You're weakening one side of your defense to make the other side strong. And how I look at things, and then understand something, you still got to pay Myles Garrett. So whatever, that's why you really can't afford to give up two ones for him, because you now you still got to pay him close to $200 million.
Agreed.
You
know, and then in a year, Jalen Carter might want $150 million or whatever he's going to ask
for. Yeah, and when you look at Jalen Carter, you know, when you look at Nolan Smith is the only player in the NFL that I can think of right now that actually hurts the other team's offensive linemen. This guy, blocking him is like you got to bring your hard hat. Ain't no – you're not just coming through him and just blocking him. He's hurt. He's in the last two playoff games, the Super Bowl and the playoff game, you've seen the damage that he does to offensive linemen that's pulling.
Dude, I'm losing brain cells.
No,
what do you think Myles Garrett is?
Right, but you want to have both of them.
I don't see Myles Garrett hurting offensive linemen.
Are you,
I see him getting
around. What are you watching then? What are you talking about? Hold on.
This is the most OG sense that he's made in a while.
No, that was, but I'm losing brain cells listening to that whole thing. First of all, he basically said Saquon was a luxury for our offense. We're not in the Super Bowl without Saquon, so that's idiotic. I understand that Jalen won Super Bowl MVP. That doesn't erase how he played for the entire season where we needed Saquon.
You might be wrong on that.
That was idiotic.
The fan base.
That was idiotic. Nolan Smith to Myles Garrett is not a lateral move. Did you hear my Lotta with Ike, Spike, and Jack yesterday? He compared Myles Garrett to a cheetah mixed with a lion mixed with a tiger. Okay?
It's a fun take.
It's amazing. I mean, Myles Garrett and Nolan Smith are on two different, completely different planes.
What animal was she as a pass rusher?
Thunder. I was a beast. Just a beast.
I actually think that's the most sense OG made. In fact, I'm going to say this. I'm with OG. That's my trade offer.
That was stupid.
One,
come on, for the quarterback. Yeah, they do need a quarterback.
A 1-2 and Tanner McKee. Take it or leave it.
I think there's a possibility that that might be what it takes.
Then I'm in. Sign him up.
But to say that going from Nolan Smith to Myles Garrett is asinine.
I think you're underrating Nolan Smith a little bit.
I think you're underrating Myles Garrett a little
bit. No, I know what Myles Garrett is.
Well, then you wouldn't say he's a lateral move going from Nolan Smith to him.
No, but I when I envisioned it, as we've talked through it the last 3 or 4 days, I want Nolan and the other side cleaning up. Like,
that's ideal, obviously.
Carter double-teamed, Myles double-teamed, and then I got 12 sacks that a Nolan's running around the edge.
That's living in an ideal world, but at the end of the day, if it costs you Nolan instead of that one, what if it's Nolan, the 2, and Tanner McKee instead of the 1?
That's a tough one. I'd rather give up the 1 than Nolan.
I agree.
Yeah, I think Nolan could turn out to be
a special player.
I just pulled up his numbers just to see kind of where he was his career went on. When I watch Nolan, Hugh, I'm reminded of Robert Mathis.
Yeah, Robert Mathis was nice.
Quick, and he got
and
around
he
the
was
edge.
Small,
but he was like the way Nolan plays bigger than he is.
Yeah.
Like we saw that towards the end of the season. That's I think what OG was getting at. Robert Mathis played that way. He was like an animal, even though he weighed, I don't know, what did he weigh, 240 pounds?
Probably about 240. Yeah, you said it.
Okay,
you said
it. Myles Garrett is an upgrade over Nolan Smith.
I know.
Okay, he's a tiger combined with a lion combined with a cheetah.
Yeah, he's an anomaly. That's the better word to use.
If your argument was that Nolan Smith hurts to block, and that's not what you think about Myles Garrett, you don't watch football.
Well, we know. OG's got his takes. He's got his takes. I mean,
some of them are on another planet.
You're hung up on the cheetah, lion.
How could I not be?
That was a good one, though. That really was good.
We need to figure out what animal he
was. If an NFL tackle tells you that that's what it's like blocking Myles Garrett, I want that dude here.
I was going to say Hugh was a Jaguar, but that didn't work out very well.
No, you know what? I remember I was called a tryhard. I remember Orlando Pace said that.
That's
about
good.
One time.
That's insulting.
What he said is a little guy, a high motor guy.
Oh, well, that's not insulting.
You want to be a high motor guy.
Humor like a panther?
Yeah, Carolina. Gotcha. I caught that.
I was, by the way, this just shot my memory. I was at a scout. My son is a Cub Scout. He had a Pinewood Derby last weekend where they design their cars and they race.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scout leaders told me he was listening to our show in sometime around the end of the NFL season. And he still laughs at when Hugh went on the station in Carolina and we found the audio and called him Benedict Douglas.
That was a great day.
It was great.
It was not for me.
Well, because we outed you.
Yeah,
wasn't outed. I said what I said. But y'all ridiculed me. See, y'all ridiculed me.
I mean,
about
you
it.
Basically went on a Carolina station and
did
propped
they not
up
have
the
a
Panthers.
Chance?
That's not the point.
You went there talking about tomato cans. That was outrageous.
Did we not play tomato cans?
No,
we just
Ravens
beat the Ravens.
We did not play tomato cans.
No,
before we played
the Ravens, we beat the Rams and Washington, both teams that we met again in the playoffs.
You are Benedict Douglas.
We beat tomato cans.
You were wrong. That's okay.
I was not wrong.
You thought we'd never hear it.
That was outrageous. You were way wrong.
You thought we'd never hear it.
Did the Carolina Panthers put up a fight?
You got a little comfortable on that radio station, thinking that Adelaide is like a hawk over here.
I was not wrong.
Think about this.
I was not wrong.
It doesn't matter who's right and wrong on WIP. It's how we hear things, and we heard it as you were a traitor.
You guys always hear it crazy, but I wasn't wrong.
I mean, it took me a long time to accept this. I think I'm right all the time. Everyone thinks I'm wrong. I have to live with that.
But I am right all the time.
The fact that you said that we were playing tomato cans all season was wrong.
The Ravens, the Commanders, the Rams. At that early in the season.
All three in a row.
2 months later,
it was the toughest stretch of our schedule.
Still defending Benedict Douglas.
You mentioned the fact that the teams that the Eagles have played throughout this 8-game win streak have been tomato cans.
You know what I don't like about you, Kyle? Is that you pull up the cut? Like, we're talking, and you're actively finding the cuts while you're arguing with me all the time.
Someone's got to produce the show.
I don't like that. I don't like that multitasking.
Well,
that
what
you
we call
like to
this
do.
Is accountability. Okay,
that's you know what Hugh is more like? What do you think about this comp? Like a grizzly bear.
The grizzly bears do have short ass arms.
That's right. You. Yeah. Yep. I can see that.
I don't like that, Kyle. I don't like that coming from
Why?
Because that's a backhand. You were one of my favorite players growing up.
It's not
that's
a shot.
A shot. Yeah, I was, and you talk crazy to me every day.
What animal do you want to be?
You're no longer that guy.
I'm okay with the grizzly bear.
There's nothing wrong with a grizzly bear. All right, let's grab Mike in Delaware.
I meant that as a compliment, man.
Go ahead, Mike. We got a grizzly bear over here. But Mike, what's up?
High motor.
Good afternoon, guys.
How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. Let me use your steak analogy, because there's something I enjoy more than Eagles and beef. You called Garrett the Beef Wellington. I really think of more of the defense as the Beef Wellington. If Nolan Smith is a New York strip, is it better with a rare-aged filet like Garrett? Yeah, it is. But if you can't afford to put all the other ingredients in there, your Beef Wellington is going to be pretty mealy and miserable. So I really don't know which way to go. You know, it's going to be down to how we can massage this cap. But we got a lot of guys who are going to need to be paid in the next few years.
Paid.
I don't know if we can really afford to put all that money into him.
Yeah, Mike, I agree with that. I mean, I think getting him would improve their chances for 2025 to win it again, but it might hurt them to, you know, get there many times over the next 5 years. I just think it's more of like a short-term versus longer-term.
Exactly. And I'm bullish on Milton Williams. I mean, I've been watching this guy improve every year for the past 4 years. We watched him from a prospect. He kept getting better and better. And this year, he really exploded out there. And, yeah, you can pick a second or a third round pick and maybe get somebody who can do it. But to get a really good pass-rushing interior lineman, that's not necessarily an everyday thing that you can get. And that really helps you a lot more. Especially when Carter's getting double-teamed, to have somebody else who could just collapse that pocket and block a lane and still take down the quarterback, that's a great player. You really want to keep somebody like that.
Well, he's certainly ascending. I mean, Mike, I agree with you on that. He's been, towards the end, I mean, the last two games, title game and Super Bowl, he looked like a guy that's going to earn a lot of money, as he should.
Yeah, he was balling.
But even through this year, we've watched him improve ever since the bye week. We've watched him improve every game through this year. He got better and better and better. He became more of a force in that middle. I really enjoy the way he's played. To see somebody improve that much, I think it's somebody that's worth investing in.
Yeah, well, you know what? And I said this a few weeks ago, Mike. If all the Eagles free agents were out there from other teams, like they weren't originally Eagles, I think Milton is, of all their available free agents, he's the one the Eagles would most likely be after because he fits the age and the position like you're talking there. Mike, give us a movie that someone maybe 30 or under wouldn't know that we should watch.
All right, I'm a big John Carpenter fan. And although the movie I should give you is The Thing, which is a great
movie. You talking about Kurt? Was it Kurt? Not Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, it was Kurt Russell. Okay,
But I'm going to give you a different John Carpenter Kurt Russell movie, Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Which is just a fantastically. And
that's an old ass. Well, I don't know if you're gonna hold Kyle with that one. That's an old ass movie, dog.
What's the movie?
Big Trouble in Little China.
No, never.
I don't think you're gonna hold Kyle with that one.
Oh, that's a great movie.
No, it is a great
good
movie.
Good one, buddy. We appreciate the phone.
He's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
That's one I've never heard of or seen.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. Now you like it a lot.
I liked, but I'm a sci-fi guy. Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
All right, before we continue all this conversation with the Eagles and Garrett and star hunting, let's do a little Clearwater check-in. We do have ourselves a Phillies game this afternoon, and Hugh, for the first time, we're going to see Jesus Luzardo.
Hey!
I actually think of all the things the Phillies did or didn't do this offseason, he's gotten the least conversation considering what he could be. He's the best player they brought in this offseason. 2 years ago, he was, I would say, one of the 20 best pitchers in baseball, mm-hmm. and then he fell off last year.
Fell off.
But, you know, as we look at this team, their strength is their starting pitching. I think
they're going to ride that.
He feels to me like a pivot point. If he's what he was 2 years ago, mm-hmm. they could have, like, one of the two best rotations in baseball. If he's what he was last year, he wasn't that good. Like, I'm excited to watch him pitch to see, is he what he was 2 years ago? The other thing that is interesting, Hugh, we mentioned before they played yesterday, but then they did it, and he played five innings there. Kyle Schwarber played first base yesterday. Kyle Schwarber was the first baseman in yesterday's game. And it's interesting because this apparently came from Rob Thompson. It was Topper's idea that he picks up a glove and goes mm-hmm. and plays some first base, some left field. And I might be in the minority on this. I like this idea, and I want to see, I'm going to say it very strongly, and you hear it very clearly, I want to see Schwarber in the field more this season. Hugh, do you?
At first base?
In the field. Well, I mean, first left, he's not going to play second base, right? First,
well, yeah.
First base, left field.
I mean, you know what my first thought was when I heard that? Is there's a lot of speculation about what somebody will and will not do. The first thing that I thought about was, wow, that's pretty cool that he's willing to sacrifice and do something different that the team is asking him to do.
Yes.
He's not locked into just one position. That's the first thing that I thought about.
So I know when people hear that, the first thing they think is, Joe, he stinks in the field. Why do you want him in the field? Well, I look at this team is older, and I like the idea of them giving players days off instead of riding them into the ground and they mm-hmm. run out of steam. So on a day, they want to give Bryce a full day off. Put Schwarber at first base if he can handle it. Well, you know, there's a reality where maybe Max Kepler isn't hitting for a week. You know, he's not exactly the most consistently great player they sign in left field. Well, if he's in a slump, Schwarber could go out there for a day or two and give them another option. Maybe that puts JT at DH to save his spot. I just feel like if Schwarber is freed up and not only the DH, it can help them. Now, I'm not expecting Gold Glove play,
mm-hmm.
but I
decent, and yeah. You want him in the lineup. You want him. You want his bat in
of
the lineup.
Course.
That's what it is,
right? Like that. And I know they tried this in years past in left field, and we saw the results. I'm not telling you he's great out there, but I don't see why if he works at it, that he can't be passable at first base for 10 games this year.
No, because I know I pick up what you're putting down.
I'm in. So you're in. You're with me on this? More Kyle in the field?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. Even though he didn't want to be out there, but I like the sacrifice that he's willing to make for the team, though. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because 2 years ago, so we were down at spring training 2 years ago. We'll be down there again in 2 weeks. By the way, next week is a big week on WIP. Both the morning show and afternoon show will be in Clearwater, different portions of the week, so we're excited for that. We'll be down there in a couple weeks. But we were down there 2 years ago, Hugh, the first time we went to Clearwater as a mm-hmm. show, and we happened to be there, unfortunately, right when Reese Hoskins got hurt, right? So it was like, in the midst of it just happened, what are they going to do at first base? And we were months away at that point from Bryce Harper moving to first base. So yeah. It was like, what are they going to do? Well, we happened to have Schwarber on the show the day after that Reese got hurt. And we asked him then, like, hey, would you play some first? Could you? And he didn't seem too into the idea back then.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
You guys have options at first base, Derek Hall, maybe Alec Bohm moving over. You've played first. Has that been brought up? Do you think it'll be brought up? Could you do it? No?
No, we're good.
About to do that.
Nah, we're good. I think we're plenty deep enough to make sure that we don't have to see that happen.
Uh-oh.
Well, it turned out 3 months later, Bryce Harper was learning first base, so I guess they needed someone.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what I commend you for. Because you heard in that, and I even laughed when he said it because I saw his facial expression. He's like, oh, hell no. Like, he was, like, really not wanting to do that. But it's just commendable what you're willing to do for the team and what you're willing to learn at this late stage in your career. Because he's not a spring chicken anymore. And I'm pretty sure the way that it was presented to him, it was like, hey, man, we're going to need your bat in the lineup, and we're going to probably need you to play first base. And I don't know how much coaxing they did, but the fact that he decided to do it is pretty commendable.
Yeah, the other thing, you know, Bryce has had moments a lot where he's sore, right, or the back's acting up.
Mm-hmm.
There could be days where they don't want Bryce at first base playing the field, but they want his bat in the lineup. Well, if you put Schwarber over there, you might have a better lineup in the game rather than just, you know, no Bryce Harper at all. 215-592-9494. I know it scares people, but I'm into it. And one more thing on it, Hugh. It only can help Schwarber, too, because he's a free agent to be. He's not re-signed yet,
and the
right?
The more you can do, the more you can do.
Right. He's more versatile moving forward there. I think it actually could help all parties involved. Jake and Delco's up. Hey, Jake.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Well, Kyle continued to do what Joe pointed out yesterday. He badgered me.
You know what? Shut up. Oh, no. Yeah. This is what he does. He's,
I mean, yeah, you feel like you're just not meeting
it's
Kyle.
It's like the interrogation room. He gets his own minute of interrogation before we get to you, and then we often find out who the best witnesses are based on that.
Yeah, well, he thought he had me. He thought he had me, so I gave him my answer. But real quick, just speaking of Kyle, you know, you hear people say, oh, it's the 32nd pick. It might as well be a second-round pick, but that's because you have an agenda. There's other people that would say the 34th pick, oh, well, you know, it's really like a first-round pick. No, it is what it is.
Well, that's what I call – yeah, Jake, good phone call, good take. That's what I call spin. I mean, that's
– spin doctoring.
That's spin doctoring. And that's what we do here on WIP.
Sometimes.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention here before we move forward, Hugh, you know what today is?
What's today?
Well, it's February 28th, which is an anniversary here, a pretty big one in Philly's history. 6 years ago today, February 28th, 2019 – actually, I just got in the car. I was doing the night show then, and I was driving in about 2:50, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around there, maybe 3:10. And I was headed in. I was listening to WIP. The afternoon show at that point was John Marks and Ike Reese, produced by Ben Livingston, and I heard this.
Do I think the Phillies in Philadelphia is the top of his list? No, I don't think there's anybody that thinks that. Do I think that maybe he has some reservations about playing here for the next 10 years, or his wife does?
Oh!
Yet? No.
John Heyman, Bryce Harper to the Phillies!
No way!
Official blue check mark and everything! Bryce Harper is going to the Phillies! Stop everything you are doing!
Bring on the music! Hold on, we gotta make sure we verified first. Make
it's
sure
verified,
we
verified. It's verified. It's
verified.
Him.
Everything, Ben, before
it's
we
him.
Turn on the music,
Bryce
Ben!
Bryce to the Phillies. You said sort of breaking news.
Yeah, what the hell is sort of breaking news? Pump it up! Pump it up!
Happy campers right there.
It's one of my favorite WIP moments. When Ike's yelling at Ben to verify they got it right, and then they just start singing.
Oh, yeah! Hit it objectively now!
Celebrate good times! Come on!
Come on, bro!
That's some terrible singing, too, by the way.
You could hear people in the hallway screaming.
Yeah, that's dope.
It was awesome.
Like, you commented on their singing?
Yeah, I critique everything.
Living in this big blue world.
Because I know I'm just setting you up. I'm doing you a favor.
Well, I mean, we might have that kind of celebration and singing from Kyle when the Miles Garrett trade goes down during this show.
Yeah. You better sing, too. You better sing from the rafter. You better sing from your belly.
What should I sing?
Well, I guess you could have the celebration song queued up just in case. Just in case it happens. No. I mean, if it happens during our show, after all this talk about it, you have to celebrate.
Deal.
I mean, that's not hard. All right, 215-592-9494. You're at the final hour for your calls. Eagles offseason, should they run it back or take a big swing? Rumor has it they're in on Myles Garrett. Your movies for Tri-Day, and the Eagles made a hire this morning, and wait till you get a load of this guy. We'll talk about it next midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.